The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Returning from the district of Tyre, Jesus went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee, right through the Decapolis region. And they brought him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they asked him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, put his fingers into the man's ears and touched his tongue with spittle. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed. And he said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and the ligament of his tongue was loosened, and he spoke clearly. And Jesus ordered them to tell no one about it. But the more he insisted, the more widely they published it. Their admiration was unbounded. He has done all things well, they said, makes the deaf hear and the dumb speak. The Gospel of the Lord. Our five senses of hearing, sight, smell, touch, and taste are very important to us. Most people, we have them, and they're fine. At different points in our lives, though, we can lose them temporarily or permanently, or they become diminished. As life goes by, some or all of them lose their edge, as we know, so we don't quite see as we did, and we don't hear or feel or taste or smell as we used to. But of course, some are without one or other of those senses for all of their lives. And much more is and can be done today to help in those situations than was possible, of course, many centuries ago. But what we're all made aware of today is their importance and their value. The people that are there are valuable as just as the rest of us. That's what we try to bring our children up to see. But we still know that people are bullied, not just in the playground, but all through life. They can be the butt of different jokes. And we don't know in this story whether the man was deaf and dumb from his birth, but it's likely that he was, because the one often goes with the other. Because if you can't hear, because the babies, we've got little ones there, they hear us and they respond back to us, as you know. If we can't hear, then they can't respond that. But of course, the man in the question would not have been able to listen to Jesus because he couldn't hear. And so they, it says, whoever they were in the story, bring him, perhaps friends, perhaps family, they bring him and they say to Jesus, touch him, lay your hands on him. It's no good just talking to him because he's deaf, he won't hear you. We know people that have been like that, don't we? Through no fault. But so therefore, they say touch. And that's why one of the important senses is that sense of touch. Jesus, I think, in this story, adds compassion to it. Because he takes him aside. There's that compassion there. Not doing this in front of everybody. Quietly, privately, he does what he's going to do. What we know often from people who are hard of hearing or very deaf is that can hear a bit, is that a crowd can become a problem because the cacophony of sound can be too much and it can lead them to being confused and answering questions in a confused state, and so we therefore think they're worse than they are, or are a bit mental along with it. All those things. So think of all those issues as Jesus gently, with compassion, touches his ears with his fingers and his tongue with the spittle. I often reflect, my mum used to say, if you'd grazed yourself or something, spit on it and rub it and it'll be better. Curative properties that are there, because these days, as I said to you about health and safety last week, we're all too scared to do those things today, or some are. touch, feel, powerful means of communication. It says the man was healed immediately, leading the astonished crowd to recognize that in Jesus, the kingdom of God is being established in their midst. Jesus' works and words are a fulfillment of what we heard in our first reading. And we have that first reading because it's only Mark that uses a particular Greek word speaking about the dumb man, that the only other place in the whole of the scriptures that that word is used is by Isaiah in our first reading. And so there's a great link there. And Mark, as you know, is trying to get you, every story that he's bringing to you, say, you've got to grasp, who is this that's doing this? Who is this Jesus that we hear all about? Now, despite the manifestations of God's power and grace, Jesus says, don't tell anyone. It's what we call the messianic secret, and it's for this reason, really, because the mystery that the Messiah would bring, his great glory, would not be in these miracles he's doing now. But its full revelation will only come completely in the cross and the resurrection. And what we get next Sunday in the end of the gospel is a prediction of his suffering and his death. He said, that is the great mystery. If at the moment you're going around telling everybody, all they'll be coming to is what they see as a wonder worker. It's true in our own times. If some particular person came and said they were a wonderful healer, they'd be packed out. Trelisk would be empty. They'd be packed out. But it's not like that. Jesus knew that. So he says on this occasion, don't tell anyone. And you think, but I thought we were supposed to be around telling people about what Jesus is about. That's what evangelization is all about. It is. But the time Jesus says, go and tell, the person he says it to, Mary Magdalene, in the garden on Easter Day, is because it's the resurrection. It's the cross, the resurrection that's come. That's his glory. That's the great miracle. That's what you tell people about. But you don't go and spread about a miracle worker that doesn't take you further. Now, we are all immersed in all that. We're immersed in all that through our baptism. And an aspect of Jesus' ministry is that the sacraments, all the sacraments, are about our five senses, one way or another. Sometimes all five of them. At this Mass, we always get all five, because you hear, you see, you touch, you smell, you taste. And it's because it's the Lord saying, this is how I'm with you. And the laying on of hands in confirmation, in ordination, in the ministry of the sick. And we're even reminded of this miracle in our baptism, because after you've been anointed with the chrism and you've been wrapped in your white robe and you've received the candle to proclaim, as it shining like a light in the world, the words now come. The Lord Jesus, who made the deaf hear and the dumb to speak, may touch your ears to receive his word and your mouth to proclaim his faith to the praise and glory of God the Father. What we're proclaiming is his faith. What is his faith? It's the death, the resurrection of the Lord. Can you see, the whole thing, as I'm ever saying to you, all hangs together. One last thing in today's reading that I think helps us in the situation that's around us. As he'd done what he'd done to man, he sighed. It said he sighed, that sigh coming from the heart. And he looked up to heaven. Prayer. I think the migrant crisis, none of us could be unmoved by it as we see it unfolding on our screens, however we receive the news. There it is, confronting us, all these people around the world. We don't know what to do. We don't know what should be done. It is a very complex issue. Those in power and authority must wrestle with what is right, and that's what we pray for. But what we can do is pray. And that brings us to that second reading, because we can't treat anybody as second class or different sort of citizens. Jesus is indicating that a person's worth doesn't depend on their wealth or their beauty or their possessions or their status or achievements. Each one is a God-given son or daughter of God. And everyone has a dignity and a worth that no one should take away.